Watch what happens. Watch what happens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that happens?
Happens.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker. Joining me today is a man who I will always take to a horse race. In fact, I'll bet on him too. It's Mr. Ronnie Karam. Hey, Ronnie, what's going on?
Well, hi. I just noticed that you changed your camera angle. Oh God, now yes. You're seeing my anti-waving arms. Sorry, everybody.
It's all right.
Okay, really? You think you're going to have a taller head than me?
I don't think so.
Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
Hi, Ben. I'm good. How are you, babe?
It's good. I'm good. It's Crappens on Demand today. That's why we're comparing head sizes. I changed up my angles. So I have this desk. I got this desk famously a few months ago. Not really famous. Famously in my own mind. It's a standing desk. And I got little wheels on, little casters. And I was like, you know what? There's a reason why I got these. So I can rotate this desk and get a prettier backdrop. So now, windows. We have windows. Since I don't have all the... I have one piece of artwork that you gave me for my birthday. But I it's not hung yet. And I don't know where to really... place it properly. So
I'm gonna come over and that shit's gonna be in the bathroom.
No, I love it. I have this bulletin board here. I've got to move the bulletin board. I got to set up a whole wall. It's a project now, but I'm excited. Yeah. We're gonna build it out
basically. Well, good. Yeah, you gotta have like a little hanging project.
I know, because it looks so cute on your screen.
That took for, you know, it takes forever to do a hanging thing. It's like the stuff sits around and then you're like, oh, maybe I shouldn't just use screws this time. And then you have to measure things, but then you realize you don't understand measuring and it doesn't work right. I mean, that wall's basically a wall of holes behind me. Okay. There's like a million holes in the wall because I couldn't get shit right. But you know what? Got done. That's it.
Well, I was hoping to use my bulletin board to start collecting fun things and I would just start pinning them onto the bulletin board so it would make its own background, because I already have a Dorinda card. I have a badge from Just for Laughs. I have a picture of me and Dom. I have the agree sign from when we were Watch What Happens Live. And I have a card that says Giovanni. So I was like, okay, this is the beginning of like a scrapbook thing. And then I think I'll move the board over, put the thing that you sent me. Like, we're going to work on that. And I'm really excited. So, by the way, if anyone has any fun things to go on my bulletin board, I guess I'll just solicit that now. You go to our website and you can send some fun stuff. No, I won't do that. I won't do that because I don't have too much stuff and I don't want to.
Okay, let's start the show.
Let's start the show. Okay, guys.
Get it rolling.
Starting the show, but first, before we start the show tomorrow, the Crappies nominations officially come out. We delayed them like three times this week, but they are officially coming out tomorrow. There's no denying it. It's the end of the road. They are happening tomorrow. So keep an eye out for those because they're great. And we have some other announcements too.
Yes.
So today, watch this. Crappens on Demand, patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. We're talking Orange County. Another great episode. Wow, this show is so good this season, Ronnie. It's so good.
They got some really crazy people with dark backgrounds. And I was actually doing some reading up, suggested by our good friend Sashal Madia. And I mean, this cast has so many crazy things. Okay. Noella's marriage is nuts. Like, her husband came out with that video last week, which actually, you know what? Give us till next week. I'll download it so we can play it on here, because it is just a mind fuck. And then Jen's lawsuits, there are some lawsuits against Jennifer Armstrong, and I mean, there's just a lot. You know, they hired people this time around with a lot of baggage, which, yeah. I mean, thank you. Nobody wants Santa bringing a Real Housewives show with nothing in the sack. This is some baggage. Yeah.
I know. I'm really happy that they've like really leaned into baggage cast members.
Yeah. So
the episode begins. I was like, what happened in the last episode? And of course, how could I forget? Like, the most epic way to end the year is Heather Dubrow saying, my turn? Okay. If you ever come after me or my family ever again, you are going to lose a lot more than just my friendship. You will lose stories about how I was on Hot in Cleveland and not Gretchen Rossi. Okay.
You will miss stories about Reba McEntire.
retire. I am going to pause between every syllable and you will watch me do it.
Oh my God.
I will defend my family and Reba McEntire to the end.
So it's like previously, and then we see all the previouslys, and it's like, my turn. Like they start with that so that they could do the whole monologue again as we open the show. It opens with that.
If you ever come after me or my family again.
I mean, the whole thing. I just was expecting some kind of beep, like at the end, you know? It's like a voicemail from hell, a voicemail greeting from hell.
I think I should record that and just leave that as voicemails for people sometimes, just when I'm angry at them. Or how about I just, like, next time Jen Shaw calls with, like, about the warranty, like, your car's warranty is up. If you ever come for me or my family again, you are going to lose a lot more than just a car warranty.
Yeah, I know. I've always thought that, you know, everybody's saying, oh, Heather writing her lines. I think that Heather has just used a speech for so many things in the past that she can just whip it out again. You know, it's like old camp stories for Heather. Because you know that she's used this at, like, what would be her version of My Ross Dress for Less? Like at customer service. Ma'am, do you have the receipt?
Nordstrom's.
If you ever come for me or my family ever again.
Ma'am, I'm sorry, a valet is actually $12, not $2. If you ever come for me or my Mercedes ever again, you're going to use a lot more than just my car.
Oh, so she's like, I thought you and I were good, and this was basically a big fuck you to me, Shannon. And Shannon's like, well, I mean, I'm sure it felt devastating. I feel just, whoa, I feel horrible, Heather. And she's like, well, I'm going to be honest, I'm not sure I trust you, but I am willing to forgive you. I didn't have anything more to say, but I needed more pauses, so I split the you into two words. Thank you. I'm done.
You know, it's funny because her monologue is so bone-chillingly scary. Like, it's really scary. And then she sort of pivots to, like, it was just a big fuck you, Shannon. She suddenly starts to become, like, Shecky Green, like, ugh. You know what, Shannon? It was just a little. It was a fuck you. Ugh. I'm like, what is this pivot that Heather is making?
She's the worst. And it's not scary. I mean, anybody who's ever been in service knows this lady, you know, or man. But, you know, we all know Heather. You know, we all know her. The whole, I will speak. It's like total Karen vibes, you know. I will speak to the manager. And if this ever happens again, I will. It's like, oh, okay. Leave now, please. Leave your 10% and go, okay?
But that being said, the fact that she, like, trots out this monologue, which I think is one of her most, like, chilling monologues she's ever had, and she trots it out on, like, Shannon Bedore, who is, like, all supplicant and already kind of, like, pathetic. Like, it's basically, like, taking an axe out and swinging it at a bunny. And I'm not saying that Shannon's innocent. I'm just saying comparatively. Shannon's just there saying, Heather, I just want to say I feel horrible. If you ever come after me. It's like literally going and finding a baby and yelling at a baby. And it's just like, it's so excessive. But well, like, that's like what
seeing
made it so amazing.
It's like seeing a really skinny, mangy, you know, abandoned dog on the side of the freeway and just like slowing down your car and then throwing a Diet Coke can at its head and driving off. You know, like, what are you doing? Like, it's Shannon. She's already. And also, it's a bad move on Housewives. I mean, I know that Heather thinks she's like the queen or whatever, but it's a bad Housewives move to give Shannon, the ultimate victim, all of this victim ammo. Because really, Shannon's sitting there like, okay, well, I am so sorry. You know, I've made horrible lapses and judgments. I mean, this ponytail for one, just look at it. I thought someone was pulling my hair since I left the house. And she's like, oh, it was Gina. I offered her a free box of rigatoni per month from her favorite Italian deli if she would pull your hair all day. It's like you're making Shannon even more of a victim. So Shannon's acting like, oh, she's just going to sit here and say sorry, but Shannon is going to leave there. You know she's going to leave this scene and for the next few weeks. She threatened my family. How do you? Oh, what?
Which is what she does the rest of this episode.
Yes.
I can't even believe it. 30 to 40 threats against my family.
So then Heather, of course, then obviously, of course, she trots out this one. Shannon is not crying because she feels bad. Shannon is not crying because she has remorse. Shannon is crying because she got caught. It's like, okay, well, yeah, of course she is. But also she didn't get caught. She didn't get caught. She literally was like saying something to Gina and Emily, like, isn't that so strange that they would be friends with her when she sued her? And then Gina turned it into a whole thing. Shannon is not the one who deserved getting this monologue.
I agree. And Heather's made this such a big deal that people have run to Yelp to read her husband's real plastic surgery reviews, which I suggest you all do because they're hilarious. But don't tell anyone because she will come after your family. So Shanna's like, well, I deserve this. I mean, what an absolute monster I am. Thankfully, Emily's using plastic straws at this party. Please make a crucifix. Put me up so everyone can throw lunch meats at me. Please, I deserve it, Heather.
Heather, I just want to say thank you for at least not picking up Spartan races, which is the traditional activity one does before they leave me behind in the dust. She's like, I made a huge mistake. Huge. I will never stuff cream cheese and salmon again. I will never do it. Huge mistake. Huge mistake. Huge.
And Heather goes, thank you. I appreciate that. Don't fuck with my family. See,
I'm not going to, and I would like to add one more thing to this apology. It's a tincture. It's a tincture, not a water. Okay, thank you. I promise.
And so then Heather's like, pinky swear. So then they pinky swear, which is super bizarre energy. What'd you say?
A little tree branch comes out. From her hand.
I know, it's like trying to catch Dorothy going down the yellow brick road really slowly.
So wait, that's not a pinky. That's a branch from the tree from Poltergeist. So Shannon's like,
well, when Heather and I were first getting to know each other, it was very difficult because I wasn't used to getting kicked out of a home before. Remember that? Let's roll that beautiful bean footage down. There it is.
Shannon's beautiful bean footage would be.
Actually, I don't really have bean footage because I'm trying to stay low on carbs and starches. But what I do have is some quinoa. It's actually a protein. Quinoa footage.
Let's roll that beautiful quinoa footage.
All right, Heather. So, but you know what? Heather and I worked through our rough start. Rough on her end. And now only time can tell. I mean, she threatened me and she said she's okay with it. So, let's see.
Yeah, and Heather's like, okay. Act one is done. Now, you need to apologize for my husband. You need to apologize to Terry. Okay.
Places for act two. Places.
Reset. So, reset the set, please. Okay. Now,
5 minutes to curtain. Okay. Yeah. So then, so the thing is that normally when this happens on a Housewives show, when someone pulls the, now I want you to apologize to my son, or I want you to apologize, usually people are pretty resistant. But Shannon's like, well, I guess I just have to take it on the chin. It's kind of my thing in life, you know. So then,
hopefully Terry will victimize me as well. I've got my tank half full of victim juice. So bring it on.
I feel like Heather is my school teacher lecturing me. I'm a 57-year-old woman. Oh, God. Oh, 57 years old. Wow.
Wow. So then we see Terry talking to Jennifer, and Jennifer's like, but I've met you at your surgery party or your surgery center with Jay. And he's like, you met me? Wow. What did I draw on your face with a Sharpie? I may forget a before face, but I never forget the pictures I draw on them. What was it?
How lucky that you got to meet television's own Terry DeBrow, me. So Heather's like, can I borrow you, husband? Okay, Shannon wants to apologize, but not in front of other people. I'm like, no, Shannon does not want to apologize. She never say anything about other people. You've created this narrative, but continue.
Yeah, she doesn't want to do it in front of other people, but I'll make her do that later. And then she can apologize in front of our staff. And then I'm taking her to Best Buy so she can apologize in front of their staff. Also, I need to go there anyway so I can get a Ring camera for her front door. So every time she comes home, she can apologize to us via video camera. Terry.
Well, I just want to let Heather DeBrow know that she's not the only one who can do a monologue around here. Okay, boys, here we go. Hi, Terry. So, listen, I just want to let you know I am so, so sorry for any hurt that I've caused. And we all know you're a brilliant, brilliant surgeon who lives up to the name Botched. And with an impeccable reputation, what I did was wrong. I'm not sure what I did, but whatever it was wrong. And I'm not that type of person. And in due time, I hope that you will both be able to see that. And to show that I'm a good person, I'm going to brush this June bug off your shoulder. Oh, look at me.
And it cuts to Heather nodding and smiling proudly, like, look at her, apologizing correctly. Very good. Very good. And he's like, well, the thing for me was I just didn't understand why. I mean, it was so long ago. It was not even a thing, you know, as you can tell by my wife losing her shit. Threatening to quit the show and yelling at the entire camera crew of Real Housewives of Orange County. It was not even a thing at all. But I appreciate that. And hopefully you'll see that I'm as nice as the claymation Christmas film character that I've turned my face into. Okay. Thanks. It's been great. Great talk.
And he basically adopts the tone of like, I haven't actually watched Botched, but I have to imagine at the end of like, there's always going to be a scene where someone comes in crying about their faces. Don't worry. We're going to fix you right up. Okay. Don't you worry. Like that was the tone. It was very much like a made for TV. Everything's going to be okay. Kind of voice.
Yes. Now you're just going to be kind of ugly. Okay. We're going to get this fixed. So then Shannon does her.
Oh, yeah. You have a June bug. Okay, I'm going to get that off of you.
So she starts brushing his shoulder, and he looks so annoyed. He gives this look to the camera like, you fucking kidding me with this? And Heather goes, wow, like a dog with a squirrel.
Wow, there it is again. Oh, God, you better apologize. She's going off script. I want you to apologize to Heather, her husband, and Best Buy. June bug.
Hello, can we clear the June bug? This is not part of the script. Okay, thank you.
He's so, like, you know what? I appreciate your apology. Let's just move on. Let's just forget about it. She goes, oh, okay. Well, you're drawing on my forehead now. Okay. Well, you know, just a little lift in your temples. Okay, full circle on the nose. This washes off, right? No, it's a Sharpie. See me soon. Well, I may be annoyed with you, but I can't let someone in need walk around looking like a 9-week-old potato. I'll see you soon.
Okay. Hey, and just to show that Heather and I are totally okay, we're going to give you a good old-fashioned DeBro laugh. Okay, ready? Here we go.
Oh, so okay. Then we cut to then we cut to Noella, Gina, and Emily talking. And, I mean, this is Gina, just stop. I mean, Gina's just really around here to lick some butthole anyway, and it's gross. You know, it's like a poor person that like sees the Caesar's okay. Palace like luxury mall for the first time, and they're like, "Wow,
is that a channel purse?"
I mean, Gina's whole attitude. Anyway,
at the end of it. Oh my god, so,
she's getting everyone to do the Charlie's Angels pose. Which is like the most basic of all Housewives moves.
Right? Yeah.
So they're posing, and then Terry and Heather are looking at the food on the buffet, and he's like, "Wow, honey, look, there's a full fish thing there happening."
Doesn't really look like Nobu to me. So I think anything that's not Nobu is really not fish. Okay.
Yeah, it's Nobu, but spelled N-O space B-O-O. No. Boo.
So now we see like everyone at the buffet. And I mean, Shane is so, I feel like last season he got like an okay edit. So we're like, oh, Shane's not so bad. Shane is such a fucking putz. I'm sorry. He's sitting there. There are people in line at the buffet and he just like cuts in and doesn't even say, oh, excuse me. He just sort of like this sort of blah expression is like, oh, or he grabs the food. And it's just like, who is this little troll, right? So he just goes and grabs the food, and I got really mad. And then
Gina's like, I feel like you just cut in front of me. Just saying. He's like, I mean, didn't you know I'm the man? That's what people keep telling me.
Weird episode where two of the men are calling themselves the man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Because it happens again with Shannon's dad. Shannon's dad's like, I'm the man. Didn't you know I'm the man? Weird.
So then Shannon has now retreated to her boyfriend, John, and he's like, so were Heather and Dory gracious? He's like holding his cocktail, already like clearly wasted, like in that waspy way where he's very still, but he's clearly wasted. And Shannon's like, well,
Terry was gracious, but Heather threatened me. Not only will you lose me as a friend, she said, you'll lose a lot more. And that's not a threat. It's a promise. I'll tell you one thing. I was scared, and so were all the June bugs. It was a terrifying moment.
She set the June bugs a Twitter, I'll tell you that much. And he's like, and then he drew a penis on your face? He said it was a 9-week-old potato. Is it a penis? She's like, but you're my 9-week-old potato. And that doesn't sit well with me. She's like, it's okay. I promised myself I wouldn't start the victim storyline until tomorrow. But okay, we'll start now.
That's just not okay. And to show how upset I am, I'm just going to stand here and drink more of this vodka.
I'm going to say nothing. She's like, oh, I've never had this kind of support before. He's not even eating potato chips while he says that.
Potato vodka, yes, but potato chips, no.
And she's like, oh my God, I didn't bring my makeup or my goof off. He's like, it's in both of those things are in your purse. I never leave the house without makeup or goof off. Okay, let's get that Sharpie off of you, honey.
Hey, Shen, when did you grow the unibrow?
Gosh darn it, what else did he drop there?
So,
I like that you made like a whole piece of art on her face.
Commercials, here comes one right now.
So another thing that I had forgotten about was that on the way over to this party, Nicole had told Heather DeBro, because Nicole is like the fakest of all of these people, because she's like supposed to be besties with Noella, and she had told Heather, oh yeah, Noella called you like a fake piece of shit. So now Heather knows this, and now Heather is doing this passive aggressive friendliness to Noella to be like, I'm going to make her eat her words, which is actually the fakest thing you could do, which proves actually Nicole's point or Noella's point. So she goes up to Noella and she's like, honestly, if you need us, I know we don't know each other very well, but you know, .. I'm rich. You're poor now. So
I'm the lady from the mall house. You can probably see it from whatever motel you're staying in. I just wanted you to know that you can call us. We've got a new recording of Shannon apologizing, so that's really fun. Just ring the bell. It goes off.
If you ever want to go to Del Mar Racetrack, here is a portable television where you can watch us on it. You'll feel like you're just there.
Oh, so then we go to Jen and Nicole talking. By the way, Nicole, somebody said on, I think, Reddit. I mean, it wasn't me who said it, but I just thought this was so funny. Someone said, Nicole looks like somebody played gotcha with her nose. Like, you know, where you play the gotcha, but they meant it. Like, they actually so got her nose, you know?
Just got
like,
her.
Oops, got your nose, and they did.
They got it. She's basically Jessica Rabbit, right? Like, she has Jessica Rabbit makeup this entire episode. She's got Jessica Rabbit.
She does. Actually, that makes me like her a lot more, because I love me some Jessica. Why don't you do right? But like she doesn't have some other man do.
She doesn't have the attitude, though. She has Jessica Rabbit face, but
yeah,
I don't know, Daffy Duck energy. So
yeah, well, in animation, they cast multiple people to do one role. You know, she's the face model, and they got kicked out for the rest.
Jessica Rabbit fit model. So so Dr. Jen is telling us, like, well, my main issue with Noella is that she's acting very rude and snotty to me for apparently no reason. And we see this, like, the one piece of evidence they have is Noella, like, when Dr. Jen at that party was saying something about, like, the polite thing to do is for someone to talk to a host or whatever, and Noella goes, I don't think that's in Emily Post. And now Dr. Jen is just running with that.
Yes. I love the stuff that comes out. Okay, so we'll just keep talking about it. So, clip done. So Jen's like, well, she's just not like speaking to me. And Nicole's like, that is so weird. You should talk to her. So she goes over to Noella. Well, Nicole starts it off because she goes, Noella, what do you have in that huge cup of yours? And she goes, well, it's a big cup kind of night. Okay. So Jen's like, can we talk? So she pulls her over to the side and she's like, I feel like there's tension with you. Like, I know you're going through a lot and I don't want to like have stuff. So like, if there's stuff that you want to talk about, like, I'd love to just like talk about the stuff. And Noella's like, okay. So how many times have we met each other anyway? She's like, 5 or 6. We've met 2 times. twice, two times. And I was like,
oh. Well, the Balboa Bay Club or whatever, beach club, and at Bronwyn's house. So like one time at Bronwyn's house. Mm-hmm. So Noella already knows what Jen is trying to do. Noella has no patience for it. She's not like, she's having a bad week. And Noella, Dr. Jen should have just gone and been like, excuse me, I just want to say something. You've been kind of a bitch to me. Like, this is Noella. She's doing the fake thing. Like, if there's anything that I've done, just let me know. So then, which is a lie. She doesn't want to know if she's done anything wrong because Noella tells her and she doesn't want to hear it. Right.
Right. So, but this is also two people who were so desperate to be on this show. I mean, they were trying so hard. One of the things in the Sweet James video is he's talking about how they moved to Puerto Rico, but then they got a house in Orange County for her to live in to be on the show because she was trying so hard to get on the show. So they're both at Bronwyn's house, who's really the epitome of thirst on this show. I mean, and that's saying a lot for housewives. I mean, Bronwyn was like constantly trying so hard, you know, and then you've got these two who kind of sucker onto Bronwyn to get on the show. And so now they're mad at each other about things that happened during one of those sessions where they were both trying. So, I mean, it's just so desperate and like fun, you know, it's so like B-string, you know, it's like,
I think this is great.
Yeah. It's like all the understudies are getting to finally come on and they're working so hard.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta start in the chorus. You gotta start an ensemble before you're the lead, right? I think. I don't know if that actually is true.
No, but you do most of the time. You do, but no, you don't have to. But
how about this? You have to start. You have to start on the traveling tour before you get to Broadway.
And we're proof. So then Noella's like, yeah, I met her through our mutual friend. You know, both times it was superficial and then strangely like a little too familiar. Like she was very quick to do a selfie and that gave me like a weird vibe. Like, who is this girl? Oh my God, people in OC doing selfies? That is great. I've never heard of that.
I actually think this is fair. Like, assuming it's accurate. You know, like, but I can see, I mean, from everything we've seen of Dr. Jen, she is the type that like will run up and be like, oh, nice to meet you. Oh, we should do a selfie. Like, who, you don't want to do like someone you just met, like on a friend level. Like if I went and if I like ran into Sade on the street, I might say, hey, can we do a selfie? But like, if it's just like, I just met your friend, if I just like met Trisha for the first time, I was like, oh, hi, nice to meet you. Oh, we should do a selfie, Trisha. That'd be kind of weird, right?
I mean, kind of, but I'm getting that Noella's acting like she wants a selfie with me, like she's famous, you know? Like, who is this girl? But I don't know. But then
I don't think it's like I don't think it's a fame thing. I think it's just like a, I don't know. Some people just have boundaries that are just like, whoa, you're being too familiar. Like, we're not at selfie level.
But Noella is saying too familiar. But then at the same time, she's like, oh my God, you're Max. I'm bisexual too. And then walking in and like sobbing like everyone's her best friend about her marriage. I mean, Noella's really not coming from a place to judge. But I love that she does because it really suckers Nicole Jennifer into showing exactly who she is.
Yes.
And it was killing me.
So then Jen's like, well, I mean, is there something I've done to you that upset you? And Noella's like, yes, it's not upsetting. It's just disturbing. It's just weird. I mean, like 2 weeks ago, you posted a picture of yourself poorly lit, thanking your patients, and you tagged me in it. And I work exclusively with a specific med spa for years, and I had to report it to Instagram to have it removed. Hello, Instagram. I'd like to report a poorly lit photo that's violating my exclusivity with a med spa. Thank you.
I mean, what do you choose as the reason when they give you the reason? Bullying and harassment. You know, so funny. So Jen's like, I don't even. And you know, Jen's lying because she does the Housewives hair pull tail, where she starts pulling her own hair. She's like, I don't even like remember tagging you. Like, so I'm sorry if that upset you. And I was like, who tags someone they've only met twice? I mean, in a photo of themselves, that's not even a cute one.
Okay. I thought the photo was fine, by the way, and I'm not a fan, Dr. Jen fan, but I thought the photo was fine in defense of the photo.
But this is just cracking me. It's like your first big housewife fight, and they're both just being so stupid. So Nicole's like, Jen's like, I feel like I'm dealing with a child who's throwing a temper tantrum. This is when I'd call Ryan in. So Noelle's like, you know what I'm thinking? You're thirsty. Like, let's get this girl some lemonade. And she's like, I'm not thirsty. Lemonade. No, I'm not. I'm not thirsty. You're thirsty. Lemonade for Jen, please.
And Jen's like, what are you talking about? She goes, well, at Bronwyn's house when you were there for the party that night. She goes, yeah. And you literally that night were saying, my God, it's Tom Ford. And I found that very offensive, actually.
Yeah, that her God is Tom Ford.
Oh, she said, my God is Tom Ford.
Yeah, so Jen is very Christian. You know, Jen is like, I'm very Christian, and that was very offensive. I mean, lady, you got pregnant. You got pregnant while you were married to someone else with someone who was also married to someone else. You can drop the holy roller bullshit, okay, you fucking hypocrite.
Breakfast buffet, too, by the way.
At a breakfast buffet. One of the sins. Yes.
So I
thought... Talk about a blintz.
Wait, Ronnie. So I was already confused because I thought she said, I think you're right, because later on it's referenced again, and then I was even more confused. But I thought originally that Noelle had said, my God, it's Tom Ford, and like maybe like she got the designer wrong on something and that offended Jen. So Jen is actually offended because Noella took the Lord's name in vain by saying yes. Tom Ford is God.
Yes. She's I'm mad not. that she's like dissing God.
Wow. Take it to the Crystal Cathedral, Jen. Okay.
I mean, so funny. So Jen's like, Noella goes, oh God, please be relevant somewhere else. Okay. Bye. And Jen's like, okay, I will be relevant somewhere else because I don't want to be relevant to you because you're a mess. Jen's a one season. I think Jen's a one season.
Is it just me or are you getting Teddy Mellencamp vibes from her?
Like her Teddy, Robin. Teddy. She's like all of those people.
But Robin has one side. Right, like Robin. You don't like Robin as much as I do.
I appreciate Robin's, you know, contribution, which is not much, but you need that sometimes. Like everyone can't be a Giselle.
Yeah, but whoa, Ronnie, wow. But like that being said, like there was something about Dr. Jen's kind of like sarcastic, like yeah, you're a mess kind of thing. I was like, oh God, she's giving me Teddy.
Yes, like, Teddy. Good one, Teddy. Heather's like, Jen, are you okay? And Jen's like, no, I'm not okay. Literally, Noella just went off on me for tagging her in a picture and told me I was thirsty, and she's getting me a glass of lemonade and to be relevant somewhere else. And Heather goes, can you explain the lemon thing to me? I don't really get that.
I don't like pops of color. I just have a gray house, so I don't have yellow things inside my house. So can you explain lemons? So then, Noella's telling also the story, like, inside. So then Heather's like, so, you know, it's funny. I heard something that she said about me earlier. And we see a flashback of Nicole telling her that what Noella said about her. And she goes, I'm choosing just to let it go. And by letting it go, I mean, I'm going to bring it up right now and still hold on to it. But sometimes when people are in a bad place, they lash out. She's very, very poor right now. She barely even belongs in this group. So my thing is this. Let's go in the kitchen. We'll get a ladle and start feeding her soup so she gets used to what the rest of her life will be.
You know what? I think what we should really do in this situation is donate our kids old toys. That's what we should do. Just put them in a box and give them to her. Okay?
So... So Jen's like, I don't think being unkind and rude and condescending to people is ever the answer.
And so Noella hears her because she's like right inside. So Noella comes out and Shannon's like, what are you doing right now? What are you doing, Noella? 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 What are you doing, Noella? And so Noella goes out there and she's like, you just said I offended your religion by saying Tom Ford is God. And that is ridiculous. Like, I just had the worst week of my life, sweetheart.
Well, I just reach out to you. And
you are a rude little girl. A rude little girl.
Okay, we can't do this at two parties. It's just too much. Yes, we can, Heather. It's called having a good season. Shush.
And she's telling Shannon like they're friends. She's like, we just can't keep doing this at parties.
She's telling this to Shannon as if she didn't just give Shannon a terrifying monologue also, by the way.
I know. So Heather's like, guys, listen, it's Shane's night. I mean, the poor guy passed by a bar and we're supposed to be celebrating it. Okay.
He fell past the bar. Come on. There's a whole fish inside there that I don't know where that came from, but sort of smells like a Glad bag, but we can't ruin that.
Oh, thank you, Shane. Thank you. Thank you for the Snickers. He literally just passed me another bar. I mean, can we just celebrate properly?
Wait, are you telling me that's Shane? I've been calling him Alfredo all night. I thought for sure he worked this party.
So then Shannon is inside with Al Gore looking at the buffet. And she's like,
oh, well, a buffet. I don't really know what any of this food is. What is this? A fish? Oh, it's a fish, I think. Oh, what is this? A radish? Honey, I don't know what kind of food this is. Fishes and radishes? Where are we?
Wait, are there two kinds of rice? Two kinds of starches? Is that what I'm supposed to see? Greens? That's carbs. Two different types of the same carb? What sort of cruel joke is this?
Double whammy rice. Sounds great.
So she's like,
what is this, an onion? Oh, you should definitely have this, honey.
And it's just a giant onion. I've never seen this dish. Have you?
I don't know. I didn't know. It looked like it was wrapped in. It looked like everything was individually wrapped, probably for some sort of COVID protocol for a TV.
Oh, I thought it was like just big, like marinated onions or something. That I didn't
know. It looked like it was actually a Persian spread, I'm assuming, because of Shane's family. So I was a little unfamiliar with the onion component.
Yeah, I was too. I'm curious. So anyone explain it to us, please. I'd love to know because I love an onion.
We'd love to know we'd love to know the history on that onion.
Yeah, I love an onion because it reminds me that I'm human because tears come out and I'm like, oh my God, I'm not a complete sociopath.
I'm crying, look everybody.
I'm like on Instagram stories, look at me crying, feeling things.
I always think of this one movie I once saw called Hero with Gina Davis and Dustin Hoffman, and Gina Davis gives a speech. She's up there and she's like, you know what? Life is like an onion, and you peel, and you peel, and you peel, and in the end, there's no core. I was like, you get him, Gina Davis. You tell the truth. So it was like eighth grade. It really meant a lot to me. So there are, everyone's like at the party eating. Everyone's having a fun time except for Shane, who's sitting there like, And then Heather's like, "Ooh, it's a hookah. Oh, hookah." And Nicole's like, "Oh, I'm down for hookah." "You are? Smoke the hookah. Look how much fun I am. I am fun, Heather Dubrow. I chose this time from 8:55 to 9:03 to have fun. So you guys come join me fun at the hookah."
So then they go sit down at the table, and Heather's sitting at the other side of table from the other side of the table from Shannon, and Shannon's like, "Well, Heather's ignoring me. Look at that! Look at that! Heather is ignoring me." She's telling Noella, and Noella's like, "Listen, you're good, okay? You did the apology tour. You did like 2.0, even not just 1.0. I mean, I didn't co-sign on that apology, by the way, but you're like, you're good." Okay, yeah. You're good.
And meanwhile, Heather Dubrow is giving like big time cast party energy in high school. She's like, "So, can I meet your boyfriend? Hi, I'm Heather Dubrow from television, and I'm rich. Hi, Gina's boyfriend. Listen, we are going to Del Mar. It's a racetrack with horses. Horses are creatures with four legs that rich people own and bet on. Do you want to come?"
"Well, typically you don't invite people to an event when there are other people around. I apologize to Heather Dubrow, but that wasn't good enough. So I'm now officially blacklisted on the Dubrow blacklist of Heather Dubrow, who's written a Dubrow blacklist of Dubrow things to blacklist. I'm on that. How do you like that, Al Gore? How do you like that? That stinks. Please put the onion down. I was kidding when I said you should eat that.
These tears are authentic tears, not from your onion. Okay? Just call me James Spader because I'm blacklisted."
So Emily gives a toast. She was like, "All right, I want to make a toast. I want to toast to Shane for taking the bar exam when he had a wife and five children."
Emphasis on the wife.
King of Snorkasm! Wait, pause. I really won the lottery when I married you.
We don't agree on much, but we agree on that. Continue.
He was really, like, this was his first, like, full King of Snorkasm moment of the season. Like, a real, like, tee that one up, everyone. Excuse me, yeah. I caught in front of you in the buffet line.
you're about to get a double serving. So then belly
dancers
come. By the
way, note that Emily toasted to Shane taking the bar exam, not taking it, and passing it on his own merit.
Well, at least she didn't diss him in front of everybody, which is what I was expecting. I thought it was going to be like, Shane passed the bar exam after 19 tries and having the standards lowered for him.
It only took 20 years after you graduated law school.
So then the belly dancers come and they all put on the belly dancer belt. And of course, it's like another Housewives belly dancing moment. And Gina, of course, Gina says the most Gina thing that's ever been Gina'd. She's like,
it feels like a fanny pack and I like it.
I just love the way she reduces cultures down to just like accessories. Well, not just that, just like fanny packs.
Just fanny packs.
Fanny packs.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So then we get a weird shot of Larry, Shane's father, inside the door looking at everybody creepily. That was the weirdest shot. He's just like, ugh.
Because Perry's like dancing and then just goes to Larry and be like, like, this is where Shane gets it. So yeah. Now we go to, it's the next day or whenever. And Shannon brings her daughters to a fancy restaurant on the beach. And she meets up with her father, Gene. And so also Sophie is there with her boyfriend, Reese, who has, all the charisma of a David Bedore, I would say.
Yes. Yeah, not much. Sophie is like the kind of boring one, I guess, in this.
She's group. Like,
which, you know, nice. Good for you. I think that means you're going to have a longer life. I think boring people live longer, you know?
She's like the good older sister who is sort of boring because, like, she's the one who probably had to kind of like tend to her sisters while Shannon and David were like being disasters. And now she has wound up with this guy, Reese, who aspires to be a podiatrist, which is exciting. And he's like, yeah. I'm a podiatrist. I'm like, okay, great. Exciting couple here.
So Shannon's like, well, first of all, the dad orders escargot, which I think is hilarious because, you know, he's 92 and everything he says in this is like, well, Dean Martin, you know, I just love that there's still escargot somewhere in general. Yeah. You know,
he is fully like a Mad Men character. Like he worked at, you know, Sterling Cooper at some point.
Yes. So he's like a Don Draper type. So Shannon's like, well, you know, Dad, we took Sophie and Reese to Quiet Woman for dinner, and we heard there was a man named Gene there the night before.
He's like, yeah, that's me. I'm the man. And she's like, well, Gene the Machine. That's the new name my dad is giving himself, which is much better than some labels Kelly Dodd has given him.
We get a flashback of like, oh, I heard a lot about you. Big Dick Daddy from Cincinnati, yeah.
Master Stupid.
So Gene's like, well, I got a few stories to tell about our days in Bel Air. One day it was a Christmas party and there were only two seats in front and I'm there. And then here's Dean Martin sitting next to me. And Dean says, get this. Hold on, kids. And Dean says, why are we here so early?
It's like the moth. Gene is submitting for the moth. The mothball. So Shannon's like,
yeah, the mothball. Sponsored by Escargot.
So Shannon's like, Dad, they don't even know who Dean Martin is. The Rat Pack. Anyone? The Rat Pack?
So then we see the twins on their phone, like in their interview, looking them up. They're like, who is it? I was like, Rat Pack. Oh, it's a musical group. It says right there.
Adeline goes, how do you spell pack?
I think she thought it might be like PAQ or something. Some Gen Z version.
Some TikTok version. Huh? Well, sorry that Dean Martin can't just appear on TikTok.
So then Chan's like, do you even know who Frank Sinatra is? And they didn't really confirm whether or not they knew who Frank Sinatra was, but
I think they're just like, just let them talk it out. Like they'll have energy for another 5 minutes and we can go back to ignoring them, you know? So Shannon's like, well, girls, I only have 2 years left with you. And Jean says, well, girls, when you're gone, your mother says that she'll try and spend more time with me. And she's like, oh gosh, you know, I hear that and it makes me sad. But the bottom line is I didn't really see my dad growing much. Anyway, because he had an office in Los Angeles and we lived in Rancho Santa Fe.
He'd come home on the weekends, and that's it. So I feel bad, but I just want to be there for everyone, which is why I have a small group of close friends, because I just can't spread myself too thin. Okay, family is the most important thing. Also, no one else will call me back. But yeah, I keep trying.
I mean, that's why I can't hang out with Tamara, because I can't spread myself too thin. That's all. I'm just too good of a friend to everyone else.
So Shannon's like, let's do a cheers, everybody, to having such a beautiful family and being able to see each other on this day. And for the poor snails who gave their life to be slurped down by father. And Jean's like, well, and also to Grandpa Gene at 92. He's still going strong. I am the man.
He's for 92. He's actually pretty. He seems pretty sharp, right? He seems like pretty mobile, pretty sharp. So he is the man, kind of. Well, as far as we can tell, he's probably not the man at all. But anyway, so then we go over to, speaking of the man, it's Terry, and Terry and Heather are walking into their bathroom, which sort of looks like a bathroom you'd find at like LaGuardia Airport. And he's like,
Is totally an airport bathroom, 100%. Good call.
Yeah, because they have like. They both have different kind of like, it's not just they have a double vanity, they had double wall, like they each have a wall that they deal with. And right. So he's like, oh man, I ate too many chips. Kill me. I mean, do you know how many carbs are in flour, tortillas, and chips? Oh God.
Why didn't you eat corn, Terry?
This is why Heather was really brought back. This is the content we need. Okay. Yeah. And then Terry's got one of those big long pill boxes. He's got two. Okay. I mean, there's 7 days in the week. How many days are you planning for with those things? Those things are long. So he's like spends the whole scene like, yeah, Ellen Burstyn. So he sits there like packing all the pills in while they just basically talk about, you know, oh, we're real family people, aren't we? Thank God no one's threatening our family today. So then she goes and checks on all the kids and gets their scheduling and stuff done, which is hilarious that she pretends to do that, because you know that there's an assistant doing that shit.
Yeah, exactly. She's making her rounds like she's the proctor at a boarding school. So then Heather, she winds up settling in with Max, her daughter, and talking. Like, Max has written a book. And it's a book called, it's about being a teenager in the 21st century. It's called I'll Give It to You Straight-ish. And they're going to be having a book party for Max's book.
Wow, bisexuality. That's crazy. I can't wait to read a book about it. Never heard of it. So Heather's like looking at the book and it has pictures of them. And so she's like, I am crying right now. Go with me here. Mom, you're crying.
I am crying right now.
Mom, you are. You're crying. Okay, it's too much. Now I just look like a crazy person. Let's do that again. So she talks about how proud she is to have a family dynamic where everybody is accepted no matter what. And thus they're poor.
Yeah. So then now we go over to a healer's office. It's Noella. And she's with this woman named the Tracy is the healer. And she goes, well, it's like Reiki, but it's just like something she was born with, you know? Like, oh, okay, sure. So then
yeah, it's a gift she was born with. And the lady goes, hi, welcome, Noella. We'll be right with you. And she goes, thank you, sweetheart.
Must show respect for the woman who was born with Reiki powers.
Noella is such an odd duck. And then Shannon comes in with a full head of gray hair, which looks really pretty, but when did that happen? Wasn't she blonde yesterday?
I didn't notice that. I said I didn't notice it. I did notice that the colors were off on this episode. Like there were many moments where people just looked full on orange and it wasn't just their makeup. I don't know. It was like some Instagram filter had been applied to this episode on my TV.
But is there a filter that gives you blonde hair and one that gives you gray hair? Because that was weird.
I just don't know what technology these days.
Well, TikTok. You know, I'm sure you know who else wouldn't know. Frank Sinatra.
Oh, gray eyes, blue eyes, whatever. You never know these days. Filters.
So Shannon comes in and they start talking about, you know, the goss. And Noella's like, I mean, Jennifer, I can't. I'm tagging me in a photo. I don't even know her. I can't be around some people like that. You know, taggers. Can't be around taggers.
And Shannon's girl, like, bye. I can't be. Girl, bye.
Bye what? What do you want me to buy for you? I'll buy anything to be your friend.
No, it's an expression, Shannon. Girl, bye.
Yeah, I know. Bye. I don't TikTok. I don't understand expressions.
So Santa's like, well, I walked into a conversation with Heather, and she threatened me, and she said it's not a threat, it's a promise!
And Noelle's like, who are you anyway? I mean, we're not in your court here, Heather. I mean, listen, Heather is not better than you. She is not writing this.
Okay. I'm starting to see that Heather is very manipulative, and she's controlling, and it's not cool unless you're going to marry it.
And the doctor's like, Shannon, mask up. I'm ready for you.
So Bert's Shannon goes in. Said in Orange County.
Mask up. So Shannon lies down, and the doctor's like, so how many kids do you have? 3? Are they okay? Because I'm feeling a lot of kid stuff here. I'm feeling a lot of kid stuff.
Wow. Wow. How did you define that? Someone who has kids has anxiety about their kids. She really nailed it.
Yeah, she's like a psychic.
And then so, Shannon's like, so, by the way, Shannon's so confessional because she's like, yeah, I'm sensing a lot of kids. Yes, well, exactly. Well, I'm divorced from David, who you may have heard of. He had walked on the beach with some slut and then got into racing, and now they post nude photos everywhere. So that's not nice. And now I had to downsize. And I've got Archie, and I used to have a refrigerator like Heather Dubrow, and Heather Dubrow doesn't even want to talk to me. She threatened me. I was threatened. Dr. Tracy, I was absolutely threatened. Now my children are going away, leave me alone, and I have to hang out with my father. Well, I might as well just hang out with John if he's not getting wasted on a golf course.
I know Shannon is like the dream person that a psychic waits for. You know, I'm coming up with a name for Karen.
I knew a Karen. She was so mean to me. It tortured me every day of my life. Is she apologizing to me? Because she died in a horrible car accident, which is terrible. But, you know, she died without apologizing to me. So I was always wondering if she was going to come back. And she has. Here's $1,000. Thank you so much.
She really does all the work.
she gives you everything. So she's like,
well, you know, I'm divorced. And so I'm very sad for my kids being in the middle and all. I mean, they're basically between a rock and a slut place, if you know what I mean. So it's really rough on them. So
Tracy goes, may I ask you to breathe into that? She's, oh, okay. All that sadness and worry energy is coming out. It's all good.
Well, oh God. Well, I do want to give you some more information about me that you can then tell me about myself. So that way I can believe that you came up with it first. Well, I feel as though I just have failed my kids and I don't want to fail them anymore.
I get it. I'm sensing you don't want to fail your kids anymore.
Exactly.
And you don't want to fail them ever again.
Oh my God, she knows me.
So Shannon goes, whoa, the breath I just took was 2 times as deep as the breaths I was taking before. What? Wow!
And Noella's like, I told you, I call her the miracle worker.
Helen Keller's like, stop that. Actually, no, that's not Helen Keller. That's her, the other lady. So that's Dr. Annie, yep. Sorry, messed up that historical bit of information. So then we go over to Dr. Jen's house, and Nicole comes over. So Nicole comes over with a Louis Vuitton bag that she's filled up with cheese to hang out. So at first you're like, I was like, you know, I almost fell for it. I was like, oh, that's cool. I that's cool that she was bringing over so much cheese that she has to bring a Louis Vuitton bag. But then she opens it up and it's bad. It's just Trader Joe's stuff. It's just like bags of chips, like veggie sticks and chips and all the usual Trader Joe's stuff, which is fun. We all love a Trader Joe's spread. But don't come over with your Louis Vuitton as if you went to some bougie place to get fancy ass cheese. And then it's just Trader Joe's. You could have just brought Trader Joe's bags.
It's like taking an Apple bag into the Microsoft Windows store or whatever to like walk around the mall looking like you just bought a Mac.
Yeah. So, I felt like it was very duplicitous. And I enjoyed the size of her cheese board. But like, girl, if you're going to come in with a Louis Vuitton full of cheese, that's got to be like $500 worth of cheese right there. Like fancy, fancy, fancy cheese.
Yeah. Okay? So Emily and Gina come over and immediately just start gossiping, you know. So Emily's like, so, wow, cheese. So look, I guess what I'm confused by. And Gina goes,
look, we want to hear about Noella. Okay. What's going on with Noella? Okay. That's what I need to know.
And Nicole's like, well, she called
Jennifer ugly, irrelevant, and thirsty.
She did not call her ugly. Okay, she said she didn't have a good picture, you guys.
That's right.
But the rest is true.
And Gina was like, well, did she call you ugly or was she saying the picture was ugly? And then Gina's like, well, you know, it's really ballsy calling Jen ugly when she makes a living not calling people ugly. Like, damn, savage. Is that what she said?
She said it's ballsy for her to call somebody ugly when she makes her living helping other people not be ugly, which still is not.
I don't think it's makes really savage.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really not, Gina, okay.
I'm going to revoke the savageness of that, Gina.
Yeah. So Jen's like, I mean, the stories keep changing with her. Like, she's married, but then she's not married. I mean, she shows me her wedding picture from, like, yesterday. I mean, don't you find that strange, you guys? And I didn't really know what she was getting at. So Jen's like, yeah, when I first met Noella, she told me that they had a wedding, but that they weren't married because they hadn't been divorced, but that they'd been together and they were still waiting for it. I mean, it's like waiting for a divorce. It's complicated. Like, I don't really get it.
Yeah, and Emily goes, well, obviously they're married because you can't file for divorce if they're not married. And Jen goes, are they? I don't know. So, well, why would you hire an attorney in Puerto Rico? Why would you file for divorce unless they weren't married? I'm very skeptical. I'm like, this is a strange conspiracy theory that Jen is trying to hatch here.
Yes, and I've read some of this stuff online, and so I'm still confused. I don't really get it, what they're getting at, or if it was Jen who was putting this stuff out online, because so she's saying that Noella was faking a marriage, that she was never really married, and from what they're saying online, he was not the one who filed or wanted a separation or to get away from him. She was. So it's all very weird. All this whole Noella storyline is super weird and I don't get it.
Yeah.
So basically they're trying to say that she's just a big fat liar and was never married, I guess. So Emily's like, well, for her to say that she's not really married, I mean, that's salacious. She just wants to tarnish her image, so we won't like her as well. That's what I think is going. Really, Emily? Well, you're just a fucking master.
Yeah.
Okay.
Emily, who is... Yes. So then Jen is like, well, coming from a doctor's perspective, I put all the pieces together and she does not seem stable. She does not seem sane and she needs help. And I think she needs professional help. I'm like, well, thanks for that doctor's perspective. I don't know what the medical angle was there, but thank you.
Well, the Botox lady said that you need to be institutionalized. So
thank you for being like, I was like, from as a doctor, I like to put the pieces together. I'm like, as opposed to other people who, when they like to deduce things, they just gather information and leave it there.
Yeah. So Emily's like, well, I think that what's going on with her is that she needs friends right now, but she's lashing out, and so she can't do that. And Jen's like, honestly, I think she's like too far gone for that. Like, she's going down a snowball path.
You know, a snowball path. It's like when there was a snowball that went down a path, so then another snowball's gonna go down the same path. It's like that.
So Jen wanted to come on this show and call Noella, you know, a religious heretic or whatever for going against God by claiming Tom Ford is God. And then she wanted to come on and drop all this information about Noella faking her marriage. So good for Noella catching on to what a evil brat this lady is. And cutting her off at the quick. That's pretty good. That's pretty smooth.
Everyone can read Dr. Jen for the trash that she is. So so then we go.
Wow.
I can tell. Sorry. So.
I just love when you get mean. It tickles. Like, it literally tickles.
Sometimes
you're like,
oh my God.
I'm like, dear diary, Ben called Jen trash today.
I just wanted to give you a little gift.
It was. It felt good. Thank you.
So then we go over to Shannon's house and she's out of the pool with Archie and she's got a ball and she's like, okay, Archie, go fetch the ball. Go fetch the ball. And she like throws the ball in the pool and Archie doesn't do anything. Oh, well, like most men in my life, totally ignores me. Oh God, 30 to 40 negative thoughts.
I'm so confused about this. Who wants their dog to jump in the pool? Then you have to clean the dog and dry the dog, you know?
Even the dog didn't want to. The dog knows that it's like, I don't even want to go through this process of being cleaned.
And the pool's dirty and green and there's like stuff on the water. Yeah, the dog's like, no thanks. Thanks for trying to get me to jump in that toxic dump again, but I will not be doing that, ma'am.
You know that John was probably supposed to clean that pool and said he got drunk in the living room. Like day after day. So then Shannon calls her mom, Pat, up and FaceTimes with her. And she's like, well, mother, I just threw a ball in the pool for Archie and he wanted nothing to do with it. Ha! And the mom's like, oh, how funny. Which is her way of
That's
saying.
That's hilarious, Shannon. Great to talk to you.
So I turned off Chopped to listen to this story.
I turned on Chopped to listen to Flopped. Get it over with, Shannon. What do you got to talk about, hon? So Shannon's going to go visit her mom in Nashville because now that her kids are leaving, she understands how important families are. And she understands that her mom was just preoccupied with unhappiness, basically, when she was growing up because she was in an unhappy marriage. And now I get it. Now I get it.
You know what? I'm so lucky to still have my mother with me, which is why I decided to fill up the last remaining days of her life with stories about how Archie won't get the ball. Won't even jump in the pool, mother.
So then we go to the Del Mar racetrack with Nancy and Mike, who look suspiciously like Mario Singer, right?
Yeah, and Nancy looks familiar. I feel like we've either seen Nancy or she, like, there's probably been like LA Times articles written about her, how she has like events. You know what I have to say? You know, Heather is like a monster, but seeing her in this scene, I was like, you know what? She is definitely the monster this show needs. Just seeing the way she shows up at Del Mar, she literally dresses like the mean girl in every teen movie or college movie. She literally has the look. She plays the part. She does it so well that, like, you gotta kind of, like, give it up, right? Because, like, you don't have to like her, but you have to appreciate that she's just giving us full villain. Like, full.
She's wearing the black villain. She's wearing that like black leather top sweater in her diary room with the big poofy Disney villain sleeves. I mean, she's showing up looking like the queen from Snow White, you know?
She is literally from like the cool sorority that's inviting the new girl to come to a mix to Rush. Like, we'd love to see you tonight. You'd be great with one of us. And then, like, the cool girl goes and realizes it's not really her sorority. And then Heather turns evil on her and makes her life hell.
Yes. So Mike Bello owns Napa Wine Project. Winter Wines. It's like a wine vineyard, I guess.
We've probably seen them. So as Nancy, is her name Nancy Bello?
Yeah, Nancy. You're next, Nancy. Let's see what we can get on you. Let's see. So Nancy has an IMDb. Let's see here. Nancy Bello, self, Real Housewives of Orange County. And that's it.
Mike, I'm putting myself on IMDb. Just let me know when the episode airs.
Yeah, she was in Reunion Part 2 as self. What does that mean? Maybe they just showed a clip of her or something?
Nancy Bello?
They showed a clip of her at the season 15 reunion, part 2. That was her other credit. So, I don't know. Like,
we've definitely seen her before. She's from the Bello family vineyards.
Okay, they're boring. I was hoping there was some scandal or something. So they're just boring rich people. So, let's see. So Del Mar racetrack, you know, they're like kisses, kisses. And Gina's like, I've been to a racetrack before, but I didn't know there was a winner's circle. Everything Heather touches turns to diamonds. She's really fucking amazing and rich. She's so rich.
This whole scene was ridiculous because the DeBros were just really leaning into being rich here. And just really, they were just performing for Gina, I think, at that point. They were just kind of dazzling her, trying to seduce her into their coven. But it was so crazy.
I cannot wait to find out the DeBros down. Like, I cannot wait for their money downfall where we find out there's zillions of dollars in debt and screwing people over. And you just know it's coming. This is not real. I do not believe that this is real. There have been people this rich on the show before, and they do not live in $50 million home. I mean, there's just, it's fishy. And I can't wait to see what happens.
I know. So they go up to like the luxury box, and then Heather's like, okay, Gina and Beard Man, you guys sit there. Nancy and Mike, you sit there. I'll sit here. You know, seating's my thing. She's like so proud of herself.
The chair stealer. Seating is my thing. I don't know if you watched any of my seasons, but there's a callback for you. Okay. So Gina's like, you know, So Terry's like, so what's the most you've ever bet, guys? It's like, oh God, let's give Terry another excuse to brag, right?
Yeah.
So Heather's like, come on, tell us, 50,000, 1,000,000. And Mike's like, yeah, Both, yeah. So Gina's like,
honestly, guys, I want more days like this. Well, of course you fucking do, Little Orphan Annie, okay? Not everyone gets to live here.
You know what? I talked to Noella yesterday, and I don't know what her issue is with you, okay? And she basically was wanting me to be careful of you for, like, whatever reason. She felt like I needed to be on the defense, and Heather's like, oh, okay, well... What I find odd is I've heard she's called me a fake phony bitch and I'm not to be trusted, but last time I checked, fake phony bitches don't know how to do a proper seating chart. You've all been seated, not fake.
It's always okay when Gina just shows up and starts gossiping about someone else, but then when it's someone she doesn't like doing it, it's like, you're ruining their family.
Yeah.
So Heather's like, did I miss something? Did I run over your cat? Because actually that is possible. Some people tell their Tesla to avoid them. I say, aim for the little fuckers. They shouldn't be in the street.
Seating is my thing, cat. Get out of the street. Stop sitting in the street.
You know, I used to be very much into Dalmatians, have a beautiful coat of them. But now cats. Cats is more 2021.
So Heather's like, wow. Well, you know, I was going to invite her to the party that I'm having for Max's book launch, which would totally happen with a normal person's child as well. And she was, you know, she was sweet to Max. But now I'm thinking, gosh. Yes, I said gosh. That's right, everybody. Take it in. Gosh.
Gosh.
You know, am I going to be inviting someone who will be talking negatively about me in the corner?
And Gina is like, Gina says that Terry and Heather represent something Noella used to have, but now has lost, which might be why she's having some hostilities. And Gina's like,
also, Heather's a total witch from hell who's rude and condescending and screamed at the entire production staff and her guests on national TV. But yeah, must be jealousy.
She's a bomb who's gonna detonate. And Heather goes, which is terrible. I don't wish that on her or her family, but I also don't need to be in the way.
Yeah, I don't approve of terrorism. So I'll tell you that right now. I would prefer her not to explode herself, especially in my home.
So Terry's like, all right, guys, this is the golden ticket. And Heather says, what if he wins? And he's like, this will buy us that jet.
So then the horses go racing. And at first, their horse is behind. But then it's like, oh, honey. Wait, hold on a second. Heather, why are you going down to the racetrack? Hold on, horse. If you ever come for me or my family, I will turn you into glue. So fast. Proceed.
Listen here, Elmer. If you come for me.
So she sits on Terry's lap and starts like bouncing up and down.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. She Kyle Richards it.
Yeah. And then the horse wins. And she's like, here's to our new jet.
And she makes this face like, oh, he's so ridiculous. But, you know, she's like, we're getting a jet.
So then we go to Noella's house, and she's got a dog in a pink fur coat named Rihanna.
That dog and its little, it's like an Angora sweater or something. It's just fluffy, just like walking around. And you know, Rihanna watches these shows. I really want to know what Rihanna thinks about that. So Rihanna, call us.
Why do you think her name is Rihanna? That's why she named it Rihanna. Like, Noella's so transparent, okay? Now you're going to be trying to get Rihanna attention like other housewives by naming your dog Rihanna. That dog's name was probably Daisy until she got cast on this show. And we all know it.
And poor, you know, if she should have just kept a Daisy, I'm sure Daisy from Below Deck would have reached out. Oh, I saw your dog.
Your dog is looking a little lazy to me. That's all I'm saying.
Did you feed your dog some peaches?
So Emily comes over and she's like, well, thanks for inviting me. I mean, it's really glad to have an opportunity to talk. And Noella goes,
is that okay if I whisper? Because when I get stressed out, I hurt my voice. It hurts. Stress hurts my voice.
And so Emily is like, oh, I wonder if there's surveillance equipment around. Picking up some of Shane's comedy here. So she goes,
I love him. I don't want this. But I feel like I would be such a fool to allow this man back into my heart, back into my home, into my bed, into my life, into my charcuterie, into the Angora sweater that Rihanna's wearing. Shall I go on? Into the refrigerator, into the oven.
I'll do more. Is he asking for you back? I mean, where is this coming from?
I know.
Is he trying? I love when people get dumped and they're like, yeah, well, I'm never getting back together with him.
That's like, yeah, you wasn't an option. So she basically says, like, Sunday, I walk out to the foyer and there's a man and I see there's beautiful flowers. So I'm crying and I'm like, wait, where's the note? He says, you've been served.
She was served with flowers. And it turned out that it wasn't even the delivery man. It was Heather and Terry Dubrow.
You've been served.
Took me a moment there. Sorry, Ronnie. I almost left you hanging there. Anyway,
okay.
Here's some soup cans, Campbell's, Progresso, whatever you need.
Here's an old Cabbage Patch doll.
Viennese sausages. Have you tried them? They're supposed to be good. These are for you.
So Emily's like, what? He served you with divorce papers with flowers? Like, she's kind of laughing. And she's like, wow. Well, that takes the cake. I'm sorry.
Well, I know it was so fucked up. But then actually Noella explains it and it makes a little bit more sense. She's like, well, the first time the divorce papers were served, my mother answered the door. By the way, Noella always tilts her head. Like, it's like a pendulum when she talks in her interview. Well, the first time the divorce papers were served, my mother answered the door. So technically, since I hadn't physically received them, I hadn't gotten service. So this time, James sent flowers to make sure I was the one to come to the door. Can't write this shit up. I just love that she was so easy, like such an easy mark. They just had to send flowers to get her served.
Yes. So Noella's like, you know, my goal is to keep this non-litigious. And she's like, well, you've only been married 1 year, right? Just no. Well, yes, but we've been together 6 years and we have a 2-year-old. So there's two of those years. I mean, it's been 6 years. Okay. And Emily's like, well, at Jen's house, Jen told me you weren't married and that you had a fake wedding, but you weren't really married. So I said you can't file for divorce. Shh. I said you can't file for divorce unless you were actually married. So.
And so Emily says, I think Noella is being perpetuated as someone who's not really who she says she is. And I'm starting to see that her relationship with him and serving her divorce is true and accurate. So, which makes me question Jen. It's like, yeah, you should question Jen because she was served divorce papers and she's married. You know what it tells me? It tells me that basically Noella probably told Jen this spiel, like about like, oh yeah, we've been together 1 year, but then we were really together for 6 years, but like he was going through divorce. It just tells me that Dr. Jen just didn't listen, right? She just half listened, heard bits and pieces, didn't process, didn't bother to process, and now is just going on saying that they never were married.
Right, or like Jen's trying to shame her for maybe being married at the time that they got together or whatever. Well, which I guess that she admitted anyway. It's like you're trying to shame someone that's shameless. You know what I mean? Like Noella does not give a fuck. She's not going to apologize to you for it. Also, did she get divorce papers? Like, let's just say if Jen is right, then we haven't seen the divorce papers. Maybe this whole thing is made up, you know? And that's the kind of housewives bullshit that I love. And I hope that it is made up.
I mean, look, Jen could get lots of redemption. There's still plenty of season left for Jen to get redemption and Noella to go in the trash bin, just like the flowers.
Yeah, but for right now, yeah, Jen looks nuts, but then Noella looks absolutely nuts too. I mean, this episode brought us a fight about you tagged me in a photo when you looked bad in the picture. I mean,
yeah, and sacrilegious Tom Ford devotion. So ultimately, it ends with them basically just like throwing the flowers away and Emily saying, "I just want you to know that you can call me anytime. Even if you drink too much or I drink too much or you say something shitty to me or I say something shitty to you, we'll work it out." Which I thought was like really funny that she put like disclaimers on it. Like, hey, right. I might get drunk and say shitty things to you, by the way.
But, like, right. Like we're on a housewife show and we're going to be really terrible to each other, but you can still call me at the end of the day. Okay. Yeah. It's just work.
That was the end of the episode. It was so good. Like, I'm so proud of Orange County for coming back. I'm really proud of it. Like just goes to show, if Orange County can come back, New Jersey can come back, there's hope for Vanderpump Rules, everyone. So,
yeah.
Thank you all for listening.
There's always hope, guys. Let us leave you with that today, because I think yesterday the last thing I said was like, fuck everything, there's no hope for shit. So today, guys, let's just leave it with there is hope in the world, okay?
And tomorrow we are going to be doing a shot-by-shot breakdown of the Summer House trailer, because Summer House is coming back soon. So definitely watch that. That's also Crappens on Demand. And we also have the nominations coming out and a few announcements as well. It's just like, just be sure to follow us on social media or just listen to this podcast and you'll get all the important information, okay?
Yeah. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Dana C.
Dana Do.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
Wee McLovin, Karen McClellan.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
There ain't no problem that Sarah Salvia can't solve ya.
The Bay Area betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
Always the wiser, it's Allison Weisler.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
She's cheese on a bagel, it's Megan Ragel.
Erica 500 Days of Summers.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Kristen the Ruby Rubano.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
We want to hang with Liz Lang.
Shannon out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.